Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. We are happy to be here with you today. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. We are Heralds of Hope, and our goal is to use media like radio, internet, and books to make disciples of Jesus Christ to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. Do you think it is possible to accomplish the Great Commission? Can we go everywhere and teach all nations? Do you think we have the resources necessary to accomplish this? I would say yes. Planes make it possible to travel anywhere in one day. Our communication is instant, and it's possible to have a conversation with anyone in the world, no matter where they are. As followers of Jesus, we must focus on going and teaching. Here at Heralds of Hope, we believe it is possible. This belief leads us to teach the Bible via radio, like this. So, if you can, turn with us now to Exodus. We will continue our journey through this Old Testament book with our Bible teacher, J. Mark Horst.
Words are important. Without words, it's hard to communicate, because words form commands. Words also bring comfort, but you know, they can bring pain too. When I was a child, we had a saying, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me." But you know something? That's not quite true. Words may not hurt us physically, but they have the power to hurt us emotionally and spiritually. So we really need to think carefully about the words we use, because they're powerful. And because words are powerful, God chose to reveal himself to us in words. In fact, Jesus is referred to as the Word, and we spell it with a capital W. And he said, "The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." So words are important, and we must be careful how we use them. That's why in my teaching for today, I am giving you a warning in this title: Watch What You Say. Pharaoh was a man who didn't watch his words. He wasn't careful about what he said. He spoke out of his pride and his human wisdom. He didn't properly think about the consequences that his words might have. What he did, though, prepared the way for God to deal very severely with him. That's why it's so important for you and me to watch what we say. A scripture text is found in Exodus chapter 5 and verses 1 to 14. Follow along in your Bible as I read that text. Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you hinder the people from their works? Get you back to your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded that same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "You shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the amount of bricks which they made before, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish anything from the quota. For they are idle. That's why they cry, saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' So let more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard empty words." And the taskmasters of the people went out, and the officers, and they spoke to the people, saying, "This is what Pharaoh says, I will not give you straw. Go get your own straw where you can find it, yet none of your work shall be diminished." So the people were scattered abroad through all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters urged them on, saying, "Fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw." And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, "Why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as you did before?" We see in this harsh text several outcomes in Pharaoh's conversation, which ought to help you and me to watch what we say. The first outcome was the challenge. When Moses and Aaron came before Pharaoh to make the request, they said, "The Lord God of Israel makes a request of you." Now that sounds strange to us, doesn't it? That the God of Israel would ask a favor of the king of Egypt. But that's the way the words came down to us. Moses and Aaron said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And they said it in the name of the Lord. They said, God wants his people to go out into the wilderness and hold a feast to him. Now, I want you to notice Pharaoh's reply. He said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" It's very possible that Pharaoh didn't know anything about the true God, the Lord God of Israel. He knew about the gods of Egypt, but he confessed he didn't know Israel's God, and therefore he refused to grant the request. He said, "I don't know the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Now Pharaoh didn't know it, but God was setting him up in order that God would be glorified. But Moses warned Pharaoh. He said, "The Lord will fall upon us with pestilence or with sword unless we do what he says." But then instead of Pharaoh agreeing with Moses, he refused completely to cooperate. His take on the situation was this: the people of Israel don't have enough to do. That's the problem. So let's lay more work on them. In fact, he accused Moses and Aaron of creating the problem of distracting the people from their work so that they would not cooperate with the taskmasters. And because of that, Pharaoh thought they didn't have enough to do. Well, there is the challenge. Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Pharaoh should have been more careful with his words. That's why I repeat, watch what you say. And then we observe a second outcome, which is the charge. Pharaoh commanded his taskmasters to make it more difficult for those Hebrew slaves, and he did that by withholding straw from them, the straw that they were using to make the bricks. Now, we don't know what all this involved, but experience tells us that wheat straw adds a certain quality of strength in brickmaking. Pharaoh saw this opportunity of making things more difficult for the slaves of Israel, so he withheld the straw and made them go and search for it. He said, "Don't give them any more straw. Let them go and get it wherever they can find it." But then he also added, "At the same time, don't reduce the number of bricks that you're making each day." So with less materials, they were supposed to produce the same amount of finished product. He said, "Now that's the way we'll get rid of their request. We'll make them work so hard, they won't have time to think of anything else. They'll be so exhausted, all they can do is eat and sleep." Now you would think Pharaoh should have known his harsh response would simply aggravate their request. But he didn't reason that way. He reasoned the other way. If we make them work real hard, then they won't have time to even think about going and sacrificing to their God. So he said, "You must make the same amount of bricks every day, but we are no longer going to give you straw." He said to the taskmasters, "Don't take any excuses from them. Don't pay attention to their complaints. Lay upon the men the labor that they had before, and don't accept anything from them but the full number of bricks." We could say to Pharaoh, "Watch what you say, because you are preparing the way for something you really don't expect." And then there was a final outcome, the choice. The taskmasters of the people and the officers presented this charge to the people. They said, "There will be no straw provided." That left the people with only one choice, and that was to search for the material wherever they could find it. The Bible tells us that the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. Even the materials that they could find were not as desirable for their job as what had been furnished to them earlier. But they had no other choice. They had to do the best they could under the circumstances. They labored now with a lot more difficulty than before. It had been hard work before this, and now it was much harder work. And they were not able to fulfill the requirements that Pharaoh had laid down for them. They were not able to make as many bricks as they made before. That makes sense if they had to go and find their own materials. But then as a result, the Israelite officers that had been placed over the people were beaten by their Egyptian taskmasters. There was no other choice. There was no other way. There was no other alternative. So there was greater affliction because Pharaoh, king of Egypt, didn't watch what he said. Yes, words are important. Words carry weight. By them we convey commands, and by them we can offer comfort. God marks your words. Yes, he does. Jesus said in Matthew 12:36-37, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." God marked Pharaoh's words, and by the words that Pharaoh spoke, he set the stage for a battle with God. He should have been more careful with his words in the presence of the Lord God of Israel. That's why I issue this warning to you. Watch what you say, because the Lord God is listening. He is keeping a record. Beware lest you talk proudly or foolishly in his presence, or you may indeed be setting the stage for your own downfall, as Pharaoh did. So I say again, watch what you say.
Thanks, J. Mark, for teaching us more from Exodus. And thank you for being there. If you would like this teaching, or if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. I'll give you our information shortly. I love how Exodus teaches us that God is in control and he is at work. He always has been and he always will be. We can trust him right now, no matter what we are experiencing. We won't always understand him, but we can trust him. His timing might be different than ours. Think about Moses. And he might not do what we think he should be doing. Remember what happened to Joseph? However, we have the benefit of looking back at many years of history, and we see God is sovereign. His purposes will be accomplished. This is his story, and he is the author. If you are interested, we have a study guide for Exodus available. It is a small booklet designed to help you learn more from each of these lessons. We call it the Hope Herald, and if you would like one, all you have to do is ask. Here is how you can connect with us. One of the best ways is via email. Our email address is mail@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you could send us a letter. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA 15533. Or you can connect with us on our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. While you're there, please look around for more teaching like this. On our website, you will also find other resources available from Heralds of Hope. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. Thanks again for joining us for today's program. I encourage you to join us again next week as we continue our study in Exodus. We look forward to being with you then, and we'll leave you with a verse from 1 Corinthians 10. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Blessings to you as you glorify Him.